Continuing in the story of Balak and Bilam, so we saw yesterday that the first group of emissaries came, and Bilam asked God, could I curse the Jews? He was refused. Once he said, I got to ask God, the people from Midian who were there gave up. They said, there's no way God's going to allow you to do it. Let's not waste our time. The people from Moab went back to Balak. And Balak assumed that, you know, this scoundrel was only interested in one thing, which was getting more money. And so he was hundling, and he figured he'd send more distinguished representatives, and he'd send a greater bounty to get him to come. Okay. And so we're told a couple things, first of all. We're told that Bilam was the one who brought degeneration to society. He decided that decency didn't matter and that immorality is a good thing. Since the Mabul, there had been no one apparently worse than him. It says he yielded to the lowest forms of lewdness and he became the world leader in immorality. It says, on the night that the ones who stayed, the Moab delegates, he gave them a course in enjoying immorality. So what happens is the officers return. Balak says, okay, I'll send you better people, more money, and he gives them the message, please do not refuse to come, because here's even more money, and there's more to come. You know, if you're successful, you'll get a finder, finder's fee or whatever, or profit sharing if you're successful. It says, Bilam already realized that he was having a hard time convincing God to allow him to go. And he decided, rather than embarrass himself by saying yes and then God saying no, he said the following, I cannot transgress God's command. Even for all the silver and gold that Balak owns, and which was sort of a hint that there's not enough money for a man as great as me. He said, you know, I'm not cheap labor. If I'm going to render a curse on over 3 million people, yeah, that's a major curse. I got to get paid well. Anyway, so he says to the messengers, stay here overnight. God will communicate with me. And I'll tell you what he says. It says that even though God had told him once, no way, he was still going to plead his case. And we're told that when God saw his great desire to go and do what he shouldn't, God applied the rule that it says in the Gemara Makos, on the way that a person goes, b'derek she'adam halchi malichim oisai, God led him. And so, let's look at the pasuk. I just want to look at it, where it says what should happen. 1 second, I'm almost there.
could happen in Beshalach too.
Yeah. So it says.
Beshalach, it happened the same way.
Yeah. It says that God comes to him. It says, Vayavay Elikim El Bilom Balayla, at night. He says, Imlikroy Lecha Bo Hanashim, if these people came to call on you, Kum Lech Itam, go with them. V'ach, however, Es Adavar Asher Edabar Elecha, Oso Ta'aseh, only that which I will say to you, you will speak, or it says you will do. Okay, and I think it's Rashi that points out right here. God says you can go with them. Now, God's message is that I will let you to physically accompany these people. You've got no power to do what you want. But Bilam, of course, doesn't tell them because they would have left without him. So, it said, had Bilam had any honesty, he would have told the messengers, I'm coming. God is going to basically control what I say. However, you know, as he played around in his mind, he said, look, God is fickle. First he said no, now he says yes. Maybe I can get him to allow me to curse and I'll make some money. So now it says, when God set out on his mission, right, with the people of Moav, right, it says, Vayakom Bilam baboiker, Bilam got up in the morning, Vayachavosh es asonoi, he saddled his donkey, Vayelech im sore Moav, and he went with the messengers, the officers of Moav, and Rashi points out, Liboy Kalibom Shave. When he went, he had the same kavana to curse. He totally ignored God's message, and he was willing to go and curse. So the Mephorshim say, right, the next pasuk says, Vayichar af Elohim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu became angry. Ki hoylechu, because he did hoylech. Hoylech is the same word as vayelech, that he went. So there are a couple things. One thing is, Rabbi Lehrfeld said last night, he quoted one of the Pirushim who said, why was God angry? He said, there was another ruse going on. It said that Bilam's mate, his significant other, was his donkey. And therefore, it says he didn't want to ride on it. And so he walked leading it. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, oh, you want to fake out the people in Moav that this is not your significant other, that's totally, you know, uncalled for. And that's what led to the anger. The general feeling is that when he went with an idea that I'm going to thwart God's desire, that was over the top. He wasn't given that permission. It says, he got up even earlier. He was so excited to go and do this mission that he couldn't sleep. And normally he would have his servants deal with saddling his donkey, but he did it himself. And Hashem said, Rasha, this means nothing. Avram Avinu, long before you, right, saddled his own donkey to go to the Akedah. Kedusha always trumps Tumah. It says that Bilam set out. He took two of his servants with him, they led the way, and he was followed by the princes of Moab. God immediately made the route difficult. There were all kinds of impediments, rocks and God knows what else. There was a disguised message. What are you doing? I'm impeding your going. Don't you have the smarts to turn around? It says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent an angel of mercy to obstruct him, but Bilam, whatever sign came, he ignored it one after the other. Right? It quotes the Ateres Eliyahu, the Vilna Gaon's commentary. He says, Bilam had 10 trials. First, he said, the very first time, do not go with them. He should have obeyed. When Hashem said, okay, you can go, provided you don't curse, he left with the intention of changing God's mind. We're going to see now that an angel turns around, right? And an angel stands in his way with a sword. And Bilam is totally oblivious, but his donkey senses the presence of the angel, so that Bilam will be humiliated by the knowledge that his animal could show him up. The animal saw the angel with the sword drawn, therefore it turned into a field. This was something had never happened. The animal had always been compliant. It had never taken its own route. And Bilam got angry and he hit it. Then the angel revealed itself once again to the donkey, while Bilam was riding on a narrow path in a vineyard that was fenced on both sides. Afraid of the angel, the donkey pressed sideways into the fence, injuring Bilam's foot and causing him to become lame for the rest of his life. The question is, why did he suffer this fate? It says this was not a simple fence. This was the monument set up by Lavan and Yaakov, that we would not pass it to harm one another. Bilam had a tradition from his family never to go past this gate to try to hurt the Jews. Once he tried to pass it, he was prone and he was punished appropriately. Now he was terribly angry, so he smashed his donkey again and went on further. The angel appeared a third time with a complete, it had a sword and there was no passage around it, so that the donkey crouched and wouldn't move. Now Bilam should have known his animal perfectly. This had never happened, but he never stopped to think, and he reacted out of anger. We're asked, why a three-time occurrence? three manifestations of the angel to the donkey. Bilam said, you can't curse those who come from the three of us. First, the angel appeared in a place with ample room to escape. This symbolized that if Bilam wanted to curse Avram's descendants, he had two options. He could curse the other offspring, B'nai Yishmael, or the other children from Keturah. However, Klal Yisroel was not curseable. The second time, there was only one side to escape. This was that if Bilam still continued and he wanted to curse, okay, I'll give you Yitzchak's son Esav. The third time, when it basically could go no further, was the clearest message of all, that you cannot curse the Jewish people. Hashem wanted to give Bilam a message that speech is a gift from the Almighty. And God could give it to a donkey. The fact that Bilam could speak didn't make him any greater than the donkey. And the Vilna Gaon says, when the donkey turned, he should have took it. When she pressed his foot, Bilam should have noticed. When it crouched, he should have noticed. And now the greatest thing of all, Vayiftach Hashem es piha asayin, God is going to open the mouth of the donkey. And again, a donkey is speaking to him in a conversation, and he thinks it's okay. Let me just go on, I'll respond. And even after he will now find out there's an angel there, he doesn't turn back. All of a sudden, the donkey says, Bilam, what have I done to be beaten three times? Now, my friend always says that if I were a farmer and my donkey started to talk to me, I might have a heart attack. He says, this jackass, Bilam, a donkey talks. He couldn't even realize the aberration in normalcy. And so, cold-bloodedly, he said, you made a fool out of me. If I had a sword in my hand, I'd cut you up in pieces now. And he began to search for a weapon to kill the donkey. The donkey said, hey, you're going to try to curse and destroy 3 million people, and you can't even utter a curse to destroy a donkey? And again, he didn't take notice. It says that the princes of Moab were dumb.
What about the people that were with him?
That's where I'm coming to. That's my next comment.
Okay.
It says his incumbent were dumbfounded. They had never, ever encountered a conversation between man and animal. And they realized that the donkey had more sense than Bilam. And they began to laugh. This man who says he has the power of speech to destroy people can't even control his own donkey. It says the ridicule, it was like a sword that cut Bilam's heart. His pride, his reputation was irrevocably damaged. And they said, how come you ride a donkey that doesn't listen to you. And he said, oh, it's not mine, I borrowed her. And the donkey said, oh, no, no, I'm yours. You've owned me forever. And Bilam said, it's not used to carrying people. And the donkey said, what do you mean? You've been riding me forever. And then Bilam said, well, maybe I used you once. And the donkey said, hey, let's talk about our relationship. You used me as a beast to ride on during the day, and I was your wife at night. And did I ever act like this? Bilam said, no, you didn't. You never behaved in this fashion. The Chachamim look at this incident and they say, look at the way Bilam was taken apart by his donkey. And they would say, our fear of the Yom HaDin, of the ultimate day of judgment, when our life is over, right, should be something we think about in this vein. If Bilam, who was the smartest guy, supposedly, couldn't give an answer to a donkey and was torn apart in humiliation, what will anyone ever say when confronted by the Beis Din in Shemayim? It says, we'll all be shown what we did, and whatever, if we try to give an answer, the incident somehow will say, no way, Jose. When the dialogue was over between Bilam and the donkey, the Malach killed the donkey. And their question is why? One answer is, this miraculous donkey could have now been used as an avodah zarah. If this donkey had the power of speech, maybe the idolaters would think we could get it to do it again, and we should, right? And we should basically deify it. Moreover, it says, look at the mercy of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want people to be able to point to the donkey and say, this is the donkey that made a complete fool out of Bilam. Then, I'm sorry?
A jackass that made a jackass out of Bilam.
Yeah, agreed. And that's why the jackass is the symbol of the Democratic Party, is that true?
Very good.
Somebody said that. And that makes sense. Okay. HaKadosh Baruch Hu then let Bilam be aware of the Malach. And Bilam finally realized that, oh boy, I'm in trouble. Hashem said, you know, I tried to give you a message, and before the donkey spoke, that your mission was something you shouldn't do. This nation is so beloved by HaKadosh Baruch Hu that it's protected. All of a sudden, Bilam became afraid, and he thought maybe God would strike him right here and then. He said, I sinned. He said, I guess I blew it. I should have taken a lesson from what's happened. And listen to this. He didn't say, I'm going home. He said, now, if you disapprove of what I'm doing, I'll turn around. Hold on. If you disapprove, what do you think you've been getting? What kind of message have you received until now? And you're asking the question? He said, you know, God, you let me go and now you stop me. Like, what's going on? He wanted to, so to speak, to God and say, are you inconsistent? I know you told Avram to bring Yitzchak as a korban, and I know you changed your mind. Is this another incident of you changing your mind? His tshuva was totally insincere. His brazenness was apparent. And God said to him, okay, you still don't get it. All right, go ahead. God was basically saying to him, you want to suffer greater embarrassment? You want to be basically brought down all the way? Go ahead. Whereas he took the message as, okay, maybe God's going to change his mind once again. And we will pick up from here tomorrow where Bilaam finally comes to Balak. And the interplay between them.